Well, welcome anyway. It's nice to see you here, and I trust that you'll enjoy worship together. Tea and coffee will be served following our meeting in the community hall. You're welcome to stay. There's also an open air, and the weather's changed since the middle of the night, so that's great. So at 12:05, we'll meet for an open air on the triangle. Tonight at 5:00, the Army Basics continues, and tonight is part two of What Does the Salvation Army Believe? Monday, Sally Wags. Wednesday, 1:30, Friends Together. Thursday, Coffee Morning, don't forget that, 10 to 12. And 3:30, Explorers, the junior club. And the food bank will be open on Monday, Wednesday and Friday this week from 10:00 till 1. Majors Temba, Nokotula and Maloba. Or Smith to you. They will be conducting a different arrangement of Sunday meetings, and I'll let you know very quickly what they are. 10:30, as you are now, will be our meeting, but there'll be no tea and coffee served after the meeting. We'd like as many people as possible to meet with the band on the triangle to have an open air there, to let people know that we're alive and well in the Salvation Army. Because there's no tea and coffee, you've been invited back to a fellowship meal, which will be at 12:30 here. There's a list which is getting very full on the back notice board, and I have to say to you that the cut-off time for putting your name on is now. Well, nearly now, at the end of the meeting. If you're coming, please put your name down. It's £5 donation, but it's well worth the money. And so that will be at 12:30 next Sunday, and then following that there will be, from 2 till 3, a meeting, and it's called from The Journey, so I'm sure it's some interesting facts about the majors and where they've been and where they're going. And finally, on the 15th of July, the Salvation Army's Household Troops Band are here at Felixstowe, and at 1:30 on that Saturday there's a March of Witness and an open air, and then at 7:00 in the evening here there's a musical festival, and Andy Cracknell has the tickets for that event. Thank you very much indeed. Now we'll continue with our worship.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, John, for these announcements. I'm going to add a couple of things to that. We've got some birthdays this week, around about now. I think it's Connor soon, today, 14. So wish him a happy birthday on our behalf. Then during the week, I believe on Tuesday, our friend Peter Howlett will be 90. So a card or a phone call or whatever to mark the occasion would be wonderful. And there's someone else who's got a birthday. I told them that I wouldn't mention it, so I'm not going to name him, but I'll let you guess who it is, and we wish him a happy birthday as well. Thank you, Claire. Yeah, John Pilbara. Goodness me, am I on both of these at the minute? Is that the problem? So, this morning we had our first prayer meeting for, I think, a long time on a Sunday morning. And there was 7 of us, I think, gathered round the table in the little community hall there. And I sensed the Holy Spirit bubbling. And I think that good things are going to come of that prayer meeting. But what I wanted to say just this morning is, you've all been prayed for this morning. So know that. You've all been prayed for this morning. So that brings me to this morning's meeting. As you know, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the Salvation Army's 5 mission priorities. We move on from mission to vision. And the Salvation Army in the UK's vision statement at present is this: fullness of life for all with Jesus. Fullness of life for all with Jesus. So I'm just going to take a few moments of silence to ask you actually a question. What does fullness of life with Jesus look like to you? Or what is impeding you experiencing that fullness of life with Jesus? Think about it for a few short moments. And we begin our worship this morning with the song. The band's introduced the tune as they always do. Jesus Shall Reign. Let us stand if we are able and join together in singing. I was just thinking there during the meeting that it's worth thinking about this. There's a massive gap there in the hall, and I was kind of trying to imagine who it is that I would usually kind of spot there. And I think I would see Gemma there, but Matthew's not been very well with chicken pox. Doogie, that I would usually see there. I was also Dorothy and Chris Bray I was thinking about as well. Dorothy and David. Chris has not been well at all this week, and it was him that I was thinking of particularly as soon as he left the meeting last week. Dawn, Doreen. Yeah, we can explain it quickly, can't we? So as we move into this time of prayer, I think it'd be a good idea that we think about our friends as we do so. And we're going to sing, just to introduce that time of prayer, we're going to sing My Jesus, My Saviour. I think I heard the band play it before we joined together. And we approach God this morning with an attitude of praise and of worship, of course, but also of adoration. And we declare, Lord, there is none like you. He can do more than we can ever ask or imagine. So I wonder if we approach him this morning with that attitude and bring to him all of the things that are on our minds and on our hearts, and give him thanks in the cases where that's necessary, and perhaps ask for his intervention otherwise. But let's join together in singing right now.
Jesus, my Savior,
nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Imagine that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we worship you, and we adore you this morning because of who you are. You created everything. You sustain everything. And you wish to meet with us. So Lord, we thank you that you are a God that we can know. And we thank you that in Jesus Christ you have been revealed to us. We thank you that in Jesus, that in the salvation he made possible for us, there is life. And we thank you, Lord, that through him we can know what it means to truly be human. That we can lead the lives that you intended for us to live. We think this morning of the world around us, the many challenges that face it. We think of Ukraine this morning, as we have done for the past 18 months, I suppose. We think of our brothers and sisters in Christ over there. We think of our salvationist brothers and sisters. We think of those in that terrible situation of being your children yet called up to fight against each other, Lord. We pray that you would draw near to them. We think of our friends that are not with us this morning. We've named some of them. In some instances, we rejoice. And in others, we worry. But we know that, that in all circumstances, you are there. We know that in all circumstances, you are working out your purposes. So once again, we place our trust in you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place this morning, and we pray that you would be at work amongst us. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears perhaps, so that we can hear something new this morning, Lord, something fresh, so that we might leave this place different than when we arrived. We make this prayer in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn to the band this morning who have prepared that. I suppose it's a festival march, really, is what we'd call a festival march, called Winchester Revival. Some members of the congregation were out of breath just listening. When I heard that inhalation at the end of the piece. It is a bit, isn't it? I need one volunteer today from amongst the children and the young people, really. I'm sorry, it's only one volunteer. Felicity, can you come and help me? Ah, lovely. Thank you very much. That worked. So I would like you, I've got two kind of balloon bags here. I would like you, just to prove that they're exactly the same, really, I would like you to choose one of them. Okay, which one do you want? Are you sure that's the one you want? Okay, you can have that one. And what I would like you to do now is to blow that big old balloon bag up, please. Okay. Okay, here we go. Oh, come on. I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. You need to develop lots of puff anyway for the day that you start learning the cornet, which is going to be coming very soon. I know. Yeah. Oh, goodness me, that's a little bit difficult, isn't it? Come on. Are you sure you can? No? What about if you hold it a little bit tighter at the top? How about that? Nah. Nah. Nah, we're not doing too good here, are we? Look, let me see what happens there. You have got some air into it, look. Yeah, you've got a little bit of air into it. Well done, Felicity. That's not too bad at all. In the Bible, breath and life are kind of almost interchangeable. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because if we can't breathe, if we don't breathe, well, we don't live, do we? But God gives us as well as giving us kind of this physical life, he gives us a spiritual life as well. And he wants to breathe life into us. And very often, you know, in life, we want to kind of try and fill ourselves. And when we try to fill ourselves with busyness and with things that we think are important, well, we don't get very far and we end up with this little bit here. But God, as I say, wants to fill our lives. And actually, it can happen. It happens very, very easily. Look. And look at that. And look at that. And look at that. And look at that. So by our own efforts, well, we've got a little kind of a bit here. Don't get very far. But when we allow God to fill our lives with his breath, with his life, this is what we get. And if I'm going to be very, very brave, I haven't practiced this bit, but this is the bit that I really want to be doing. If I put another knot into it, well, this becomes a really fun kind of balloon to play with, doesn't it? Because look, you can do really fun things with it. So whereas that little one that you did by your efforts, really, we wouldn't get much fun out of it. But as this one here, it looks exciting and it looks fun. So that's the lesson for today, really, is allow God to fill you with his breath and with his life. Because what we do ourselves, well, we end up out of puff, really, and we can't do as much as God would with us anyway. Thank you very much, Felicity, for helping me and for blowing up your balloon. I'll show you later. Who's interested in science? This is the Bernoulli effect. Yeah, year six teachers can take this away with them as well. It's called the Bernoulli effect, which is quite cool. Yeah, lovely. Children, off to Sunday school. Have a wonderful time. Have a great time. Learn lots. Have lots of fun. Do you want me to take this away? I will. What should I do with this now? Have a wonderful time at Sunday school, everyone, and we'll see you after. Yeah, thank you, worship band. I couldn't remember where I was, but when you moved, I went, yeah, that's kind of probably a really good clue. The worship band are going to lead us in the singing of Cornerstone, and as we sing together, the offering will be taken up as well. Let's stretch our legs. And let's stand and continue in our sung worship together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to worship you in all sorts of different ways. We can worship you through our singing. We can worship you through our speaking, through our being, through our work. But we can also worship you through our giving, Lord. And we give this morning in the hope that these gifts will be used for the extension of your kingdom. This morning, Lord, we thank you that we are able to give. And we share a special thought this morning, Lord, for those who are going without, whether that be well throughout the world or even closer to home, Lord. We pray for them, Lord, and we commit, I think, Lord, to standing up against that inequality and injustice. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll have the Bible reading next, which will be shared by David, and we'll take the songsters straight after that with a song called Serve by Love.
Good morning to you all. Our Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, and we're reading from chapter 10 and reading the first 10 verses of that chapter. John chapter 10 and the first 10 verses. These are words of Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said to them again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. May God add his blessing and understanding to that word this morning. Amen.
So, as I've already said this morning, the thread through my preaching over the last few weeks has been the Salvation Army's five mission priorities. And the idea really behind this series was to keep us all focused on what it means to be the Salvation Army today. And my hope also is that along the way, you will have, in one way or another, been inspired by these God-given mission priorities. Because the Salvation Army, just like any church, is not a place of mere passive attendance. Rather, we are called to be a dynamic and vibrant expression of God's mission on earth. And this may sound to some terribly energetic, but God, through His Holy Spirit, can use anyone and everyone, irrespective of age or perceived gifting or ability. So far, we have considered what we are called to do. And today, we'll turn to the why that underpins all of this doing. So it might seem unusual, well, at least to some, that we did not start with the why, with the vision statement. But I think the Salvation Army puts these mission statements before our vision statement. Is there a lot of echo in this? Is there? Yeah. Can we trim it a little bit? Because it's winding me up, so I suspect it is you too. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you. So it's unusual, isn't it? We put our mission statements before our vision statements. We put the doing before the why. But I think it comes from the fact that as salvationists, we tend to be people of action. Our emphasis is on doing the mission that God calls each of us to. Salvationists, soldiers, adherents, and friends. And in fact, anyone that calls themselves a disciple. But today, nonetheless, our vision, our focus is on vision. What is the Salvation Army trying to achieve through its mission? Why do we do what we do? These are crucially important questions, because we will soon tire of doing what we do if we don't understand the reasons for our effort. People keep going even under the harshest circumstances, even when everything seems hopeless, when they have a compelling vision. And passionate people change the world when they understand their God-given purpose for being alive. So the Salvation Army's vision, fullness of life for all with Jesus, is that every person in every community and in every part of the world would experience more and more of life with Jesus. And of course, this is a bold and ambitious vision. And we know that it's far from being a lived reality for billions of people. So we must take this mission seriously, so that we can reach this vision of fullness of life for all with Jesus. Of course, our influence here is local. But we have to admit that even reaching the whole of Felixstowe with this message would be a significant achievement in its own right. There are many reasons, of course, why women, girls, boys, and men are missing out on this life. We live in a complicated world. We live in a broken world with failing structures, systems, and institutions. And at the same time, we must recognize, if we hadn't done so already, that our church, the Salvation Army, isn't without its faults either. But the simple fact is that no institution or organization can bring about change on its own. The change, no institution, no organization is anything without its people. So this morning I want to emphasize that it's building relationships that bring about change and transformation. That is essential. Relationships are essential on that step towards the fullness of life. And this is crucial because we cannot hide behind the name the Salvation Army and expect it to carry out its mission. There is no Salvation Army without ordinary people. You and me, with our gifts and with our weaknesses, getting out there and meeting human need, whether it be spiritual or material, in Jesus' name. Our response to this, to this need, whatever shape it takes, starts with relationship. I'm going to go through the five mission priorities. We can't share the good news without a relationship. There was a day when we would stand on street corners and play our instruments, and we were sharing the good news. We were spreading the gospel. But if we attracted people, the reason we kept them was because of relationships. How many times have you heard this story of a young man walking in front of the Salvation Army open air, seeing an attractive timbrel player coming to the army and staying? We've all heard that story. It's not the Salvation Army. It's not the timbrels. It's not the bands. It's not the uniforms. It's the people that kept them there. They come into the Salvation Army. They followed the band back and they met with encouragers. They met with teachers. They met with people that helped them. And that's why they stayed. Relationship is at the heart of our evangelism. So that's why I would say this morning that standing on the street corner has its place, but must be viewed relatively. Because it's relationship that makes a difference. It's when you go to the person next to you, well, I was once blah, 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 but now by God's grace I am this. And if they can see that acted out in your life, that's what makes a difference. The next step, nurturing Jesus, disciples of Jesus. We can't nurture disciples of Jesus without relationship. And this is the very same thing. This is precisely, actually, what Jesus Christ modeled. He chose 12 to be in his inner circle. And these are the people that he really worked on. These were people that he knew. These were people that knew him. He didn't just stand up and teach and say, oh, by the way, this is the new way that God is going to be working now. Get on with it. He said, this is the new way that God is working. Let's gather together. And think of the people that they gathered with. Some interesting characters, to say the least. And this is the question for us all. Would you be the disciple you are today without encouragers, role models, and teachers? Would you be the disciple you are today if no one had showed any interest in you? Would you be the disciple that you are today if you turned up at the Salvation Army and no one spoke to you? The answer is no. We can't serve others without relationship. We don't do good for the sake of doing good. We do good because we recognize in the other person who's perceived as needy, we recognize them as a bearer of God's image. So in some way, we are related by that simple fact. And one of the things that really winds me up are do-gooders. People that do good for doing the sake of doing good. We, the Salvation Army, we do good because we recognize that the other is a fellow human being. And we know that they too can enter into a relationship with God. We recognize their value in God's eyes and we want them to know the value they have in God's eyes. That is why we serve others without discrimination. Similarly, we can't seek justice and reconciliation without relationship. Without relationship, seeking justice and reconciliation is simply campaigning. With relationship, these issues become worth fighting for. What good is it to go out and fight for a matter of injustice if we don't know people that are actually suffering it? If we don't know people who are enduring it? Well, it sounds like an empty gonging cymbal or whatever Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. It sounds to me to be empty, to be vacuous. We fight for justice, we fight for reconciliation because we know people who are enduring that issue. Similarly, if we know people who are enduring a specific issue, well, then we fight. We fight not for them, we fight with them. And you can see the relationship there once again. And we can't care for creation without relationship. We recognize that the deterioration of our environment has significant impact on all of humankind. So we don't do it because we're tree huggers. Though we should be, because we recognize that God created it. But we work for the restoration of creation because God is already involved in that. We know that from the New Testament. But because we know it's having considerable impact on people. So the Salvation Army is committed to journeying with people, enabling ever deepening relationships with people of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities. And amongst that, we affirm that a relationship with Jesus is essential to experiencing fullness of life. Because, as I've said already, people's first encounter with Jesus very often is with his paltry imitators that we are. At the same time, we reject any action that might coerce or pressure people to become Christian disciples. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So let's be clear. Let's be absolutely clear. He did not mean an easy life full of privilege. Jesus himself didn't seek power, riches, and pleasure. You know, he was killed age 33, and to many that would seem a failure, a life wasted. But we believe that Jesus' life was the greatest life ever lived. But Jesus taught that the path to fullness of life is marked by sacrifice. He taught his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." And I can't get away from this idea. How many times has that passage come up in our worship this year? In 2023. I think it's come up at least three times before today. Is God trying to say something to us? Maybe. But paradoxically, it's this perhaps, paradoxically, certainly to some, it's through this life of self-denial, through this life of sacrifice, that Christians can joyfully live in an imperfect world. The cross is at the heart of the Christian faith and the mission of the Salvation Army. The crucifixion of Jesus is a story of outstanding grace, of scandalous love and unending mercy, to quote Steve Chalk, which I don't do very often, which shows Jesus' relentless faithfulness to God, as well as God's faithfulness to humanity and the whole of creation. The cross also speaks of the service and sacrifice of Jesus, which his followers are called to embody by having the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. It transformed the cross from an instrument of death and exclusion into an instrument of life and inclusion for all. And as we enter into the suffering and the brokenness of others, we encounter a God who meets us, who acts, bringing new life out of death. So, the Christian understanding of life in all its fullness is not about power and privilege. It's about humility, service, and obedience. And that's why Salvation Army people are often found in risky and forgotten places, responding to people without discrimination, being present with others who are suffering. Clearly, this is not our job alone. We share it with the church universal, but there's a sense in which it's become our reputation. It's a sense in which it's become our speciality. But there's a sense in which it is our very calling. Jesus makes possible the boundless salvation that has so inspired generations of Christians for more than 2,000 years. And because of it, 21st century salvationists are hopeful people who are confident that God will do more than we can ever ask or imagine. So our vision brims with hope and expectation that God will do more than he already has. It also, as an aside, allows us to measure the progress that we are making. But above all, this vision of boundless salvation, this vision of life to the full for everyone, ought to give us a strong sense of purpose that drives everything that we do. Earlier on, and John, come and join us. Earlier on, I talked about that idea of salvation as being activists and how we place that emphasis on doing. And as I was preparing to speak this week, there was a sense in me that we'll work hard, we'll work super hard, we'll ensure that these people have this life to in all its fullness. But sometimes it strikes me, I think at least, that we disregard ourselves, we discount ourselves, we discount the investment that we have, and we think that we can run on reputation. We think that we can run on tradition. We think we can run on what we've always done. But the only thing that we can run is on our knowledge of that life in all its fullness. How dare we claim to want life in all its fullness for others when we don't experience it ourselves? So we started this morning and I asked you to kind of start thinking about that. What is it that you need to experience that life in all its fullness? What's stopping you from grasping it? If you're experiencing it, hallelujah. By the way, I'm not being 100% negative. But I'm not naive. And my job is to say the hard things, and it is to kind of get to know people in a way that goes a little bit deeper. What is it? Are you experiencing this life in all its fullness? Have you grasped this gift from Jesus? This paradox, it doesn't sound attractive, doesn't it? Well, yeah, pick up your cross and follow me, but we know that that's the pathway to life, that serving others, that life lived for others. Are you like a deflated balloon? Think about these things as we sing together. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. That's a biblical idea that Jesus poured out his life. But if we go to the next slide, I think later on it talks about us pouring out our lives as well. So make these words, I think, this morning your prayer, perhaps. Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. I get it. But I want to feel this gift of life that we speak here. I know the ideas. I know the theory. But I'm not experiencing the life. And how can I even aspire to share it with others if I'm not feeling it myself? If I'm not experiencing it myself? The Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit is willing to fill you this morning. Let's sing together. Heavenly Father, you promise us life in all its fullness. And Lord, I pray that we would claim it this morning, that we would pick up our cross and follow you. So that we might be able to share this life that we can find in none other than you with others. I make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We close our worship this morning with them. O Boundless Salvation, the Founder's Song, a Salvationist classic. It contains everything that you need to know about the Salvation Army's theology, I think, more or less. But it is a bit of a marathon, 7 verses. And during the week when I was planning the meeting, I was doing the usual thing, should I try and get rid of this, should I try and get rid of that? I said, if we get rid of that, we'll miss this. So we're going to sing the whole 7 verses. I think the band and John on piano have got I've entered into some form of an agreement so that the band kind of certainly don't leave like a deflated balloon after the end of the meeting this morning. So let us stand together. We're going to go for it. The whole hog, the whole seven verses, it's a good one. Oh, boundless salvation. It speaks about everything that we want. Everything that we want is in this song. So let's sing together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. And I think it was perhaps well chosen maybe by John that the band should sing, "My life has been joyless." And may you experience this fullness of life that comes from a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I think that will do as our benediction for this morning. I'll see you at the open air in about 20 minutes. God bless you all. Amen.